Is right now the moment where they're going to say, all right, we're just going to turn it over to Drake May? Didn't sound that way, just simply based on the comments of Alex Van Pelt and Gerard Mayo. But what is very evident here, Tom, is that it is coming. Whether it's next week, whether it's the week after, whether it's the middle of the season, it is clearly coming. And the Patriots, have, rather than put him out there, they've really tried to ease him in. You just hope at the end of all this that it is all absolutely worth it. No one's going to care that he came in and got hit a couple times against the Jets, but was that valuable to his development? The Patriots obviously hope yes, and pretty clear we will at some point fairly soon see Drake May.
Ian Rappaport over the weekend on the NFL Network. At some point fairly soon, it's clear.
Yeah.
We're going to see Drake May. Although, I feel good about that.
I feel good about that. However, I don't think Ian Rappaport has his finger on the pulse of Boston.
Oh.
He goes, I don't think people are really going to care that he got hit a couple times against the Jets. I'm like, I don't know, dude. Have you been listening around here? People are terrified. People care way more about the health and well-being of Drake May than any other football player who's ever touched the field around here. They're going on and on about, you're going to get this guy killed. Look at that one play. He got rock bottomed. What's going to happen here? We should stop playing football. Yeah. Go to flag. So I would disagree with him on that people don't care.
That's a good point.
People care quite a bit.
The Greg Bedard thought police were out there.
They're terrified.
They're coming after Rap Sheet. What if he gets tackled?
He could get bumped.
You can't even think about playing.
Don't even dare.
So I've been thinking about it, whether it gets him hurt or not.
I think about it a lot.
I think
it keeps me up at night.
Maybe too much.
That's right. Move on.
617.
I got to get a hobby or something.
779-7937. You can jump in here on the phones. On Jones and Keefe, we gave you the Bozo touchdown parlay on Friday. People just won't stop talking about it.
Well,
four out of the first five legs have hit.
That's right.
The fifth leg is tonight.
It all comes down to that fifth leg.
It all comes down to Zach Moss.
Jones' Zach Moss pick is standing in the way of people getting $1,000 or not.
You're $1,200.
$1,200.
If you plunk down a ham.
One ham.
$1,200. So we'll get to the strategy on that. If you're riding the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yeah.
And based on the feedback on social media, there's a lot of you out there.
Hold on tight.
Let's see what we do with it. You let it ride with Zach Moss tonight. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Just on Rap Sheet there, the one thing I'll say, it's closed. It's clear he's going to play soon. Even you and I say this all the time. It's like, play him against the Dolphins, play him against Houston. It makes sense that week five, week six. I would just ask, if it's really that close where you're like, oh, we're totally playing him week 5.
He's not ready for week 4, though.
Right. Why wouldn't you just lean in on this week?
No, Jones.
Especially with the week and
Jones,
a half.
He's not ready for week 4. Week 5, yeah, probably. But definitely not week 4.
And I know they're not. Like, I know they're not going to do it, so I'm not pretending they're going to do it. But why wouldn't you? The Niners have not been good.
No.
They lost to a Rambulance L.A. Rams yesterday.
No Cup or Nacua, and they lose.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Tutu Atwell
smoked them.
And I think that was it. 2-2 Atwell. It was just 2-2 Atwell.
Kyron Williams touchdown?
That was nice. Kyron Williams is a nice player.
Yeah.
And they lost the week before to Sam Darnold and the Vikings, who are 3-0, but it's still Sam Darnold and the Vikings.
Yep.
So I don't think the Niners are quite the team we expected them to be on paper. It's 10 days to get ready for the game. I get not starting him on the road, but come on. If you think he could start week 5, you can start him week 4. That's all I would say.
But honestly, I don't even think it's that big of a deal to start on the road. I think that's kind of overstated, too. Yeah. Like, isn't there almost more pressure on a player to play at home? And you have the home crowd who's like, this guy is literally the hope. Every Patriots fan is pinning everything on Drake May. Like, if this team is going to pull themselves out of the basement, it's going to be because of Drake May.
Yeah.
Why not get a start under your belt on the road? Also, like, the fact that he played in the game last week, I know we talked about this a little bit on Friday, that to me is a promising sign, because those that are so terrified of him getting tackled or bruised, then they would never play him, right? Yeah. If that's how Mayo and Van Pelt and those guys felt, then he would have been pinned to the bench, and they wouldn't have played him in the final drive.
And if he felt he was a million miles away, you wouldn't play him.
Correct. And he did, and he was fine. And we talked to Michael on Wednesday, and he was like, yeah, he was good.
He was good.
Yep.
And, I heard Burt Breer talking about this a little bit last night. The operation looked good. It's not like he went out there and it was false start. They couldn't line up. Yeah.
In and out of the huddle.
It worked.
Plays were called, executed.
He almost
first downs were achieved.
Oh, almost as many first downs they had all game.
He ran almost as many plays.
Yeah. Well, true.
This is a 16-play drive to nowhere.
He had 4 of their 11 first downs. Now, it was garbage time and it was the end of the game. And
whatever.
It's still only 4 first downs and they didn't even score.
It was his time.
But at least they moved it.
Right.
So the operation looked okay. He almost threw a pick. He got body slammed, but he was okay. He was a big boy. He was fine.
Yep.
So when are we going to see him? When should we see him? Mixed in with, if you watched the league yesterday, do you have the same takeaway I have? Wild pendulum swing, admittedly. I'm spotting dimes. I'm eating onions. I'm all over the place.
Pick a lane.
Fine. I mean, if you want to accuse me of that, fine. Yeah. You're right. But I went from thinking the Patriots could go 3-0, and they're a frisky little team.
No, they're not frisky.
To now, they might be the worst team in football.
Yeah, burnt toast. So, yeah, no, you... Well, but you were very excited pre-Seattle, and then even after Seattle, you were still somewhat hopeful. But yeah, then the Jets game, that's going to change a lot of opinions. As, like, that was a bad game.
As I've been referring to it, it was foundation shattering. So what do you guys think? You watched the league yesterday. Where do the Patriots compare to the other worst teams? Are they the worst? 617-779-7937. Jillian's in Chelmsford. Start us off today, Jillian.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, and this was from the other show, but... There was something Gerard Mayo said that really concerned me when they had their little interview with him. They said he was talking about when he became a Patriot, and he said, "Well, when I came on, I wasn't particularly awed by anybody." And I don't know. That was the season after the almost perfect season. Most of us were pretty awed by Moss and Brady. And it made me concerned, and this is what I'm hearing, and maybe this isn't true about him, maybe it's just the rest of the staff, and he's going along with it because he's a little this way, that I felt like with Belichick, he didn't value offense enough. He didn't put money in it. He kind of believed if he had a good manager and did everything else right, you could win. And he didn't value Brady. He thought he could do the same thing with Garoppolo as he did with Brady.
And you're worried about that with Mayo?
I'm a little bit worried about that.
Okay. Keith, my big takeaway today is that Mayo just doesn't sound pissed enough about his team being embarrassed and pantsed on national TV. Like, that was my big takeaway from their interview. I didn't read too much into the specific answer she's talking about, Chris, I think, asked him. Chris Curtis asked him, you walked in 2008 after a team that almost went undefeated. Were you in awe of anyone? And he said, no. I didn't read a lot into that answer. Did you take anything away from it?
No. I mean, I guess everybody's a little bit different. I mean, the guy's a first-round pick.
He's the 10th overall
pick. Top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Like, those guys are a little bit different than us. You know, like, that. He's not a fan of Moss and Brady like we were. So, I mean, he's probably going to come into it a little bit different. But the whole offense-defense thing, it's possible. I mean, I don't think he has a great deal of responsibility when it comes to the offense. But his bigger concern probably right now is just in the early going, his defense isn't as good as he thought. Because if his defenses were really good and the offenses were a mess, there's a little bit of the, well, I'm kind of doing what I'm supposed to do. But right now, neither is going very
well. Yeah, you said this last week, and it's right. They don't have much of a leg to stand on. If there's any, like, offense versus defense, we want this quarterback, we don't want that quarterback. Yeah. It's a week to keep it to yourself.
Yep.
Is what it is. You've been critical of the Wolfpack as well. I wonder what their relationship is like. And I wondered this with Cora and Breslow during baseball season. That's an important relationship. The manager and the GM, the coach and the GM. And I don't feel like they're fully aligned.
Well, they're very similar because they didn't, the GM didn't hire the coach or the manager in
shotgun
these cases,
marriage, yeah.
Which is odd, right? That's usually not how it works. We've seen it where, you know, Dave Dombrowski inherited Farrell, kept him for a couple of years, and was like, all right, I'm moving on, I'm getting my own guy. Right. And so Gerard Mayo was Kraft's guy going back 5 years ago. So Elliot Wolf, it's like, hey, you can pick most of the players, but one of your biggest responsibilities is the coach, and that's out of your hands. So you guys, it's an arranged marriage. Sometimes those can work, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine Mayo loves this offensive line. Like, with most of the callers being like, this offensive line sucks. I think Mayo's probably saying the same thing because he wasn't as confident in the O-line all camp long as. Wolf was. Right?
No,
like their comments were very different.
The only time I really heard Mayo complimentary of the O-line was after week one when they beat Cincinnati, and he's like, yeah, you guys were all blown it out of the proportion. It's not that bad.
Right. Are you sure about that?
Yeah. And
give it a week.
Turns out you were right. Stick to your guns on that, Mayo. No, I think if it were up to Mayo, they'd make the move to Drake May. It's not, so they won't. But I think if it were up to Gerard Mayo, they'd make the move.
Week one he would have started if it was just up to Mayo.
And so that... There will be friction there between your GM and your coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mayo and the Wolfpack. I'm looking at our buddy Matt on Twitter, at Jones WEEI, at Keefe21. Maybe you can have the Keefe Stats and Info Department double check this.
Oh,
I'm just taking it at face value.
Yeah, what do we have?
He says the Patriots are last in total yards per game.
Oh.
246.3.
Mm.
They're last in passing yards per game, 102. I have an Andy Dalton stat. We'll get you next hour. Which is
102 yards per game?
It'll burst your brain. 102 yards passing.
102 yards passing.
Yeah. 13 points per game. That's 31st. So they're 32, 32, 31. And the head coach is looking at it going, we have, to steal a phrase from the now cut Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
A Bugatti in the garage.
Yeah.
and we're not using him. What the hell are we doing?
Not great, Bob.
No, it's not.
Jacoby Brissett is, if you project out the rest of the season,
I like
three games into the year.
Yeah, five touchdowns, no picks. I remember that from Friday.
Well, they go six. See, I rounded down. They rounded up. I'm looking at the projected here.
Everybody's got an agenda with their numbers.
2,000 yards passing,
nice.
Six touchdowns
nice.
For the season.
Yeah, for the whole year.
Right. Okay. Six touchdowns. You round up. It's probably more like five. He's gonna play. So he's gonna throw six touchdown passes.
Yeah, but there's gonna be like 1 3-week stretch where he throws an extra touchdown.
No,
Let's go to our buddy Jonathan in Randolph. What's up, Jonathan?
I have two counterpoints for the cowards who don't want to start Drake May because he might get hurt. One is, I mean, we all die eventually, and two, a lesson from yesterday that most people didn't notice. Chargers best tackle prospect in Joe Alt. He gets hurt. So if that happens next year with our, you know, number one overall pick, we pick the best tackle to ever come out of the draft. So we finally start Drake May. If that tackle hurts his leg in week three, so do we pull Drake May out?
Yes.
I mean, we can't have him get hurt.
Yeah, right, no, you have to.
As soon as the guy goes down, you got to get him out of there.
No, so
Alt got hurt and Herbert's hurt. So okay. It's like he's protecting your quarterback. He's also been banged up.
Let me tell you, this is a good take by Jonathan about Joe Alt. And you see what the Chiefs had to do?
What the Chiefs have to do?
Chiefs already benched their rookie left tackle.
Mm.
They started Wanya Morris last night. Against the Falcons. So they've already drafted a kid. I think he was a second-round pick, if I'm not wrong. But they drafted a left tackle, plugged him in to start, benched him. Pittsburgh had a right tackle who they were playing as a rookie, who's injured. And so this idea...
You know who got in for the Falcons? Storm Norton.
Did he really?
I got a tweet about it last night. Storm Norton played
for the Falcons.
Our guy
Storm. We thought he was out on the street and available.
Thank you, Ryan. Yeah.
Okay, but it's my only point about the O-line. Joe Alt, the kid in Pittsburgh, the kid in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
One got benched, the other two got hurt. This idea that you couldn't whiff on a pick at left tackle or at offensive tackle is so dumb. Or even that none of the receivers are going to whiff.
What if you drafted a guard in the first round? Is there any chance he might not be good?
I would think the Patriots have a good experience with that. And so, look, the receivers, you have more to crow about. If you wanted Marvin Harrison Jr. or the guy I preferred in the draft, Malik Nabers.
He looks nasty.
Or even Roma Dunze had a great
game.
Like,
good.
All three of those highly drafted wide receivers, those guys are working out right now.
Yep.
That's fine. The tackles, one looked good for 2.5 games and got hurt. The other guys are hurt and benched. It's not automatic no matter what you do. You shouldn't be afraid to draft the quarterback. Never mind afraid to play the quarterback. But what we've learned, Keith,
I know.
There's a bunch of fraidy cats around here.
It's just terrified. I'm shocked.
Their own shadow.
Shocked.
They're afraid of their own shadow. As Jonathan and Randolph said, we're all going to die at some point.
That's a great point.
What are you
we
so worried about?
We should lead all our calls with
that. Yeah, seriously.
I don't know why you guys are so bent out of shape about it. You could be dead.
Like, all right. As a wise man, Mike Petrella used to say, one day the earth is going to go slamming into the sun, and none of it's going to matter anyways.
That is true.